listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Well, good morning. How's everyone doing this morning? Very good. Very good. My name is Colby. I'm the worship pastor here. My wife is Heidi. She's the children's director here. And I have two wonderful kids, Owen, who's 2 years old, and my daughter, Everly, who is just turned 5 months just a couple days ago. And awesome stuff. And we're in a series called Road Trip. And this series is really correlating with where we're at as a church. And that's because our church is on a road trip. Can I hear an amen from the New Chapel people? Because we are so close to closing on our new permanent facility. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, I just felt the spirit right there. Yes, I did. And let me tell you, my week this week was bananas. Pastor Joe's week this week was bananas. We felt like we were living in Grand Haven this week because, guys, I got to tell you, we had a phenomenal opportunity to gain some things from another church who is also moving. We got, it had to have added up to over $100,000 worth, $150,000 worth of things that they just gave to us that they didn't need anymore. Oh my goodness. It is such a blessing, ranging from speakers for our new facility to trash cans to a janitorial cart. Just the whole gamut of things that we need in our new permanent facility. And we got a ton of stuff. We had like five different trailers over at this church at Grand Haven, and we had almost 20 people come. And I gotta give a hand clap for everybody who helped us out on that Wednesday and Thursday. In fact, I'm gonna name call you. Greg and Amanda, thank you. Tim, thank you. Phil, yeah. Phil Mead, thank you so much, sir, and other people that I can't see. So thank you guys so much for all of your help. And my wife and I, we've been a little bit more intentional this summer to make more road trips toward the beach. You know, because last year we couldn't really do it because Owen was one. And it's like, you know, he was still just, he couldn't hold himself up. But now he loves the water, and it's just amazing. Church, God is taking us to new places. Oh, yes, he is. And it's a phenomenal season that we're in as a church. And last week, Pastor Joe started this series called Road Trip. And he started with telling us about getting in the car, you know, having that rest as you're going from destination A into destination B. And as you're resting, he gave us great principles of rest. And it's important to balance your life out. If you didn't listen to that, you need to. It's on newchapel.com/watch or our podcast. And what's the first thing that you do when you get into the car, you know, to start your road trip? You listen to the music, baby. You know what I'm saying? You listen to the radio. You pop in a CD. You check out what podcasts are right there or what playlist you want to listen to on your mobile device. So that's what we're going to talk about today. What's on your playlist? Yes, sir. And I'm going to tell you what's on mine and why I think it's important to be on everyone's playlist. And yes, the worship pastor is going to talk to you about praise and worship. Yes, I am. This is something that is so huge on my heart. I think it's a big deal because I think it's a big deal to God. You know, there's actually been some people that have come to Pastor Joe and said, "Pastor Joe, I love your preaching. Oh, I love it. I mean, I come to the church because of your preaching." Okay. You know, the one thing I have to tolerate is the music. And so I purposely come in 20 minutes late just so I can... Whoever said that needs to shut their mouth, is what I got to say as the worship pastor. But there was one pastor that asked me one time when I first moved up here. He said, "What do you do for a living?" I said, "I'm a worship pastor. Can't you tell? I'm 12. And he said, "Really? Okay." And then he asked this, "Is it a hand-raising church?" And then I said, "Yes, it is." But you know, sometimes, I got to say this, as your worship pastor, I got to wonder, are we a hand-raising church? Come on now, come on now. Because just from the perspective from here on the stage, when I see you guys out there, I don't know if you're just getting a feel for the service and you just want to look around, see what everyone else is doing to get comfortable, to raise your hands. Because there's sometimes where I say, "Hey, if you're comfortable, why don't you lift a hand with us?" And of course, I got to do this because I'm a worship pastor to see if you're doing what I'm saying, right? And I don't see everyone lift their hands, and just sometimes I want to be like Samuel L. Jackson from Pulp Fiction. You know what I mean? I said, lift your hands. Right now. Right now. What part of comfortable do you not understand? Are you comfortable now? Huh? Well, I tell you what. I did this when we were at the theater, and I see that there's a whole new group of faces here. So I feel led to do this again. I want everyone to stand up right now. Yes, that's right. Stand up. Don't be looking around. Just stand up like I asked you to. Okay? Thank you. And what we're going to do is I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you get comfortable to raise those hands in this church. Because yes, we are a hand-raising church. And all of y'all are not even at the rookie level. Man, y'all need to step up the game, all right? So we're going to go from a rookie level to an intermediate level to a pro level to an expert Pastor Colby level. That's what I'm talking about, all right? So this is what I want you to do. I want everyone's hands in their pockets. That's what you got to do. And just give me the elbow flap. There we go. The elbow flap. That's just better than nothing, isn't it? All right, now we're going to get a little gutsy. We're going to carry the TV. Come on. Come on. Carry that TV. There you go. You're doing great. You're doing great. Now let's go big screen. Just add a little bit farther. There you go. Very good. Very good. How about this? Catching rain. Catch those raindrops. Get those hands out there. Yep. I feel those raindrops right there. All right. Do you feel gutsy? We're going from the rookie level. We're about to go to the intermediate level. All right. Here we go. Ready? We're going to go. My fish was this big. Show me your fish. How big was your fish? There you go. Very good. Very good. How about hold my baby? Hold my baby. Yes. Wow. Your hands are about at your shoulders. You either feel really awkward or you feel really good right now. How about the Simba? Come on now. Get that up to the chin. Yes. Oh, that's the intermediate level. You guys, ka-ching, ka-ching. Yes, I'm proud of you. All right, now we're going to go from the intermediate level to the pro level. Oh, you ready for this? How about give me some dueling light bulbs? Yeah, twist those bubbas. That's what I'm talking about, dueling light bulbs. How about the goalposts? Yes, it's okay. You can hit the elbows of your neighbors. It's fine. It's fine. Give me those goalposts. In fact, why don't you add in a heartburn right there? Oh. To show the true spirituality, you've got to make the face. Yes. Yes. There you got the goalpost, the heartburn. Here's a Pastor Colby favorite. You see me do this, so give me the Superman. Come on, fly through there. That's what I'm talking about, the Superman. How about the pointer? Oh, a little bit taller with that finger. Yes. I point to you, God. Hatchet. Give me a hatchet. Yes. How about a high five? That's what I'm talking about. Give God some high fives. Yes. Yes, you feel that? Okay, that's the pro level. We're about to go to the Pastor Colby level, the expert level. And you can do this. I know you can. I know you can. I believe in you. Ready for this? Give me the Village People.
How about Rocky? Put those fists in there. Yes, yes. Touchdown! Touchdown! Yes, thank you. Good job, guys. Good job. You may be seated.
You may be seated. I'm so proud of you. What's the difference of that and doing it during the worship set? Come on, spanking, all right? But seriously, I'm not trying to be irreverent. You know, that was funny, but that is something to get you comfortable because, let me say this, this is very important. This is a very important deal. There is a reason why we lift our hands. There is a reason why we shout. There is a reason why we sing loud. There is a reason why I get on my knees sometimes when we come together. It's a biblical reason. It's not just something that we do as a church. And why this is so important is because there's a lot of misconceptions about worship. There's a ton of misconceptions about worship. When you go to different churches, there's different music, there's different styles, there's different cultures all together. But what I'm saying is this. New Chapel isn't necessarily worshiping the right way. However, there is a right way to worship. Does that make sense? I'm not saying, hey, we're 100% there, but there is a right way that God is expecting. And I see that from John chapter 4. It says this, but the time is coming. Indeed, it is here now when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So not just worshipers, but true worshipers. I want you to notice that key difference. The Father is looking for those who will worship Him that way. Very interesting. For God is spirit, so those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Notice that the Father is looking, is seeking for people to worship Him in a certain way, in spirit and in truth. So if you don't worship that way, are you really worshiping? So this is a big deal. And so as a worship pastor, I see that as a responsibility. That is something that I take very seriously. Because, come on, give me some affirmation. How many of y'all want a worship leader who's going to lead you into worship that it actually worships God, right? And so I see that for myself, and I'm genuine, and I'm sincere and authentic in trying to give God what He deserves. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying that I've reached it all the way there, but I am learning, and I want to worship God. I want my life to worship Him and please Him. Can I get an amen? I'm not the only one there. So why? Why does our worship here at New Chapel look like the way that it does? Why does it look like the way that it does in the Bible? Because I think that's important. The why is important, because when you understand the why, that's what's going to determine your way. All right? So what we're going to do is we're going to go over the different reasons throughout this message on why our worship looks like it does. And I can start with so many. I didn't know where to stop, so I just went with the basic for a first reason. Why do we worship the way that we do? Well, because God asks for it. He asked for it. Plain and simple. And one thing that you'll find that you get to do when you're God is you get to call the shots. Right? This is wrong, but a lot of people, a lot of Christians, look at different places in the Bible and they say, I like this part of God, but I don't like this part of God. So I'm going to follow this part of God, but I'm not going to follow this part of God. And you know what? That shouldn't be your lifestyle. If He is your God, then if He asks for it, then that's all that matters. Enough said. Like if He said in His Word that if He calls worship to come to church and have a pencil stand up on my nose and that's worship, then I'm going to do it. No questions asked. That's what God asks for. And God asks for this worship. And let me say this. It doesn't just ask it one time in the Bible. Nope. It doesn't. It asks it throughout the entire Bible. In fact, one of the biggest books of the Bible, the biggest book of the Bible is the book of Psalms. 150 chapters in this book. And the word Psalms literally means songs. And it is all throughout the book of Psalms and all of these chapters how God asks to be praised. And it doesn't just say if you're feeling like it or if it's your style. No, it says praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In fact, really, He doesn't really ask for it a lot. It's actually commanded. It's not a suggestion. He wants to be praised. Well, I'll just praise Him in my heart, you know, some people will say. Uh-oh, you better brace yourself, because this is what it says in Psalm 150, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. That's not someone who doesn't tell the truth. That's actually a stringed instrument, by the way. Praise Him with the timbrel and dancing. I didn't put that in there. God did. All right. Praise Him with the strings and the pipe. All my guitar players say. I need more guitar players in this church. Okay. Praise Him with the, clash of cymbals. All my drummers say. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Oh, but don't just clash those bad boys. Praise Him with the resounding cymbals. Give them a good old wash. Let those bad boys resound. And in case you didn't get it, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Oh, and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, let me tell you what praise is to me. Okay. Well, that word praise in this particular psalm, at least, and it's all throughout the Psalms, is actually one of seven Hebrew words. And that word is hallel. Okay? Hallel. This is a very interesting word because that's where we get the word hallelujah, right? And that word has become so classical and so formal, like you see people so sad and standing so straight and hallelujah, hallelujah. But according to this context, I apologize. But according to this context, that's not what that means. Okay, so let me tell you what I did. I'm literally pulling, like copying, you know, like where you highlight, copy, and paste, and you don't distort anything from the lexicon. Okay, lexicon is the dictionary. It is a Hebrew and Greek dictionary for the Hebrew and Greek words of the Bible. So I'm taking this word hallel from this dictionary, and I just want to see what that definition is, and it literally means this. I didn't make this up. Hallel, to shine, hence to make a show, to boast, and thus to be clamorously foolish, to rave, to celebrate. That's what praise means. So when it says to hallel the Lord, you know what God asks for? He causes for a celebration. Praise the Lord. He calls for a shout. He asks for it. Kind of sounds like to me, you know, Big Joe Stadium in Detroit, or Van Andel Arena, or the Fifth Third Ballpark, more than it does church. I know it doesn't talk about the Deltaplex, though, because the Grand Rapids Drive stinks! Yeah. But the Book of Psalms, you read the whole Book of Psalms, man, it looks more like Saturdays than it does the modern Sunday. It does. It does. God asks for this. And you know what? We can understand in those contexts when we're at the Big Joe or Van Andel, when we're cheering on these teams, but God likes it too. You cheer on for those teams. You celebrate other people because they like it. God likes it too. He likes it when we shout and when we celebrate Him, and He asks for it. He asks for it. That's why we worship the way that we do. Second reason why we worship the way we do is because praise is my purpose. It's my purpose. It is. And I'm not just talking about Colby Cullum's purpose. I'm talking about every single person who is alive and has breath. That's why you're here. It is your purpose to praise God. In fact, let me make it practical. You ready? Church isn't just about us. Yes, we come here to be encouraged. We come here to listen to a message that will challenge us in our faith. But it's not all about you. We also come here for the glory and praise of God. And that is why we start our services with praise and worship, because church is about Him, for His pleasure, for His glory. You want to know why? Because praise is our purpose. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen people, all right? You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. That's who you are, but why? Why? For what? For what? That you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. So we're supposed to be excited about God in front of people. People need to see how you react to God. I mean, why else do you think sports players just, they go like this? I was watching the NBA Finals this month, you know, just getting everyone to roar, everyone showing their enthusiasm. It's important to do this in front of people. You want to know why? It turns them on to God. Oh, no, Pastor Colby, that's really distracting, actually. I don't believe, no. It's really attractive to the world when they see an authentic faith that is openly expressed. Because when you really love something, it will be expressed openly. Remember that. It will be expressed openly, and it turns them on. They find it very attractive. I remember when I was in high school, and I went to a church, it's called Trinity Lighthouse. My relationship with God went to the next level because when I went to this youth group, I saw these kids so unashamed and so passionate, so expressive in their worship. And I didn't understand it at first, but one thing I did know is that I wanted that. I find that attractive. I want that for myself. And it actually turned me on to God. So don't use that as an excuse. The world actually wants it. And so this isn't fake. When I'm up here and I'm smiling and I'm sweating because it's 90 degrees in this auditorium, oh God, it's not fake. It's not a show. I just know it's my purpose, and God asks for it. Here's the third reason. Third reason is, why do we worship the way that we do? Because of who He is We're done. Father God, we pray right now. I don't need to give any other reasons. Because of who He is. Because of who our God is. I think it is so easy for us because we are just so busy. Stuff is constantly in front of us that it is easy for us to forget just how great our God is. Oh my goodness. It says in Psalm 145:3, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise." Oh, I love this. "His greatness no one can fathom." No one can fathom His greatness. Oh man, just listen to this, okay? Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible. Whew, this is good. You ready to hear some preaching? You watch out. "Who has scooped up the ocean in His two hands?" This is God asking these rhetorical questions. "Who has measured the sky between His thumb and His little finger? Who has put all the earth's dust and dirt in one of His baskets, weighed each mountain and hill? Who could ever have told God what to do or taught Him His business? What expert would He have gone to for advice? What school would He attend to learn justice? What God do you suppose might have taught Him what He knows, showed Him how things work? Nothing. We can't fathom His greatness. This is who our God is, church. Oh, it keeps going. "Why, the nations are but a drop in a bucket, a mere smudge on a window. Watch Him sweep up the islands like so much dust off the floor. There aren't enough trees in Lebanon, nor enough animals in those vast forests to furnish adequate fuel and offerings for His worship. All the nations add up to simply nothing before Him. Less than nothing is more like it, a minus. You can't fathom His greatness. He is a great and awesome God." Oh, it keeps going, peeps. It ain't done yet. "So who even comes close to being like God? To whom or what can you compare Him? God sits high above the round ball of the earth. The people look like mere ants. He stretches out the skies like a canvas." Yes, like a tent canvas to live under. "So who is like Me? Who is like Me? You can't fathom His greatness. Who holds a candle to Me, says the Holy? Look at the night skies. Who do you think made all this? Who marches this army of stars out each night, counts them off, calls each by name, so magnificent, so powerful, and never overlooks a single one?" Come on, come on. Isn't our God awesome? Isn't He great? Wow. If y'all were sitting there like this the whole time, and you didn't have any sort of physical reaction, then I said, "How great is our God? Our God is awesome. Raise your hands." Okay? God is awesome. And I wasn't being fake when I was expressing all that. I worship the way that I do because of who my God is. He is a great, great God. In fact, in Psalm 145, another translation of that, it says that His greatness is unsearchable. You can't search it. It has no limits. In fact, I'll give you a little teaser. Here in a few weeks, we're actually going to have another New Chapel exclusive song that we're going to show in front of the church. It's going to be awesome, and it's really copied and pasted from Psalm 145. Oh, because God is so great. God is so good. And it's all throughout the Bible. We worship Him because He's God. Can I hear an amen? Come on. Is that just me? Oh, man. Here's another one. You ready for this? Why do I worship the way that I worship? How about this? Because of what He's done. Oh my goodness. You thought I was preaching then. You wait till what God has done in Colby Cullum's life. I worship Him the way that I do because of what He's done. You know, there are some people, bless their darling hearts, where they look at someone that's going crazy, someone who is just spilling their whole heart in worship, and they just look over there with their arms all folded saying, "He needs to take it easy. That is too distracting." And what they don't realize is that person going crazy over there is an ex-drug addict who is now set free, and he just can't help it anymore. Come on now. When you're changed and when you're set free, just something has to come out in an expression of gratitude, and he just can't help it anymore. He just can't help it anymore. They're in Luke chapter 7, Jesus is at this Pharisee's house. All right, and all of a sudden, this woman comes in. She just barges in the stranger's house, And she comes and she weeps at his feet. Very interesting. I mean, I got to give the Pharisee credit. Like, if a woman came and just cried at Pastor Joe's feet and started wiping her tears with her hair, I'd be like, okay, I don't know what to do. But here she was weeping, she was wiping it with her hair, and then she was pouring oil over his feet. You want to know what the religious people were thinking? Is this not over the top? I mean, is this not a little bit too much? You know what's funny? Jesus didn't react to her over-the-top behavior. He didn't even say anything to her except, daughter, your sins are forgiven you. And actually, he responded to the religious people. This was his response. He said this, I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven, and so she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. They that realize they were forgiven a lot will express a lot of love. They that realize they were only forgiven a little won't show much love at all. And so Jesus is saying, you don't love me much. Either you don't realize that you're forgiven, or you just think you've been forgiven little, and so you don't love me that much. Oh man, so don't judge the people who are crazy. Don't judge the people who are expressive in their worship, because look at what God has done in their lives, and they just can't help it anymore. The reason why I act the way that I do, I'm so expressive and excited when I worship, is because look at what God has done through Colby Cullum's life. Where Colby Cullum had a life that was paved on the way to hell itself, and God came and took me and took all those old, perverted, ugly sins of my life and made me a new creature entirely. And now he's become my father and I become his child. I can't help it, ladies and gentlemen. I can't help the way that I worship. If you're suicidal and God has set you free, you just can't help it. You just can't help it. If your marriage has been redeemed and healed, you just can't help it. Come on, everybody. If you've been healed of a disease, you just can't help it. You got to express it somehow. If you've experienced breakthrough in your life, you just can't help it. You just can't help it. I'm sorry. You can't help it. So this isn't a show, all right? This isn't just hype. This is authentic. And it's as authentic as it is on Saturdays, because I just can't help it. I'm sorry, I can't help it. There's another instance in Luke chapter 19 where it says, the whole crowd of disciples burst into this enthusiastic praise over all the mighty works that they had witnessed. And I'd even go on to say what they've experienced personally. This is just all around them. And they burst into this enthusiastic praise. And some Pharisees from the crowd told him, teacher, get your disciples under control. But Jesus said, if they kept quiet, the stones would do it for them, shouting praise. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to make no stone with no mouth shout greater praise than me. Come on. That's embarrassing if it does for you. I'm just saying. There's this camp, all right, this base, this military base that is right off the highway. It's called Camp Lejeune, and this is in North Carolina. And it is so close to the highway that when the F-16s would take off and would land, it made such a loud noise that it always just freaked people out if they were on the highway during that time. Just, oh my goodness, you just always hear the roar, and it was so loud. And so what they did at the edge of this base right off the highway, they put a sign. They put a sign that said, pardon our noise, it's the sound of freedom. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. So if what I do may be offensive a little bit, if it may seem a little bit radical, if it may seem a little over the top, if it may be a little bit too much to you, then pardon my noise, it's the sound of freedom. It's the sound of freedom. I can't help it. I can't help it because of how awesome my God is. So I do what I do because He asks for it. I do what I do because it's my purpose. It's why I'm supposed to live. I do what I do because of how great He is, who He is, and I do what I do because of what He's done for me personally. Oh, man. Oh, man. And you know, when you go to a sports game or something where there's a lot of enthusiasm amongst all the people there, that is fun. But that's temporary. And you know what? What we got is eternal. Am I right? So let me say this. I'm not going to be loud for a team that doesn't know me and keep silent for the God who made me. Do I need to repeat that or do I need to repeat that? I am not going to go crazy for a team that doesn't know me and keep silent for the God who made me. Oh, man. That's why we worship the way that we worship. And I could give you a whole series worth of points. That's the why. Let's go into the what. And there's just so many things. So how about y'all tap Pastor Joe on the shoulder and say, hey, we need a series on worship. All right? We'd like that. Because I need y'all to get your hands raised more. You know what I'm saying? But I want to give you just a couple of points on where to start. All right? I don't want to give you too much information, blow you out of the water. So number one, I'm going to worship based on choice, not feeling. Oh, it's a choice. It's a choice. If I have the crummiest week, I'm talking going all the way up until today. If I have the crummiest week and I don't feel like worshiping, I'm going to worship because it's a choice. I choose to worship. How many of y'all can identify with this one? You know, that you've done something that you know you shouldn't have done the night before church, and you're just like, you're feeling guilty. You don't feel like worshiping then, do you? No, you feel like a hypocrite. Well, let me tell you something. It's a choice. And God wants you to choose to worship. Because let me tell you something. You repent, He'll forgive you, and your picture is still in His refrigerator. All right? He loves you still. And you choose to worship. Don't worship based on feeling. So when you don't participate, that is a choice. It's not personality style. It's not your personal preference. It's a choice you're making. And when you participate and you praise God, it's a choice. It's a choice more than it is a feeling. Number two is this. I will worship with everything I have. Everything I have. I'm not going to give God a golf clap. I'm going to put those bad boys together and give Him some praise. You know what I'm saying? God deserves everything, not just some things, everything. We expect this from people at sports, right? You know, coaches will say to their teammate, hey, give it all out on the field. Give it all out on the court. Come into church and give it all out. Like, you should be leaving. Like, you see this right here? This is sweat. That's nasty. And I want to leave church every Sunday. Whoo! I don't have anything else left to give. God, I came and I worshiped You with everything. I mean, for crying out loud, David was a man after God's own heart, and he had some moments where he just took the clothes off and started dancing. You know what I'm saying? Seriously, don't do that. Or I will personally ask Dwayne to escort you out, all right? But what I'm saying is you don't worship at the level of your comfort. Don't do that. You make the choice to worship God with everything. This is not just my personal style. You know, it's just not my personality. I'm just not as expressive as you. Don't say that you're not as expressive as me. This is worship. It has nothing to do with personality. In fact, that's what I'm saying the whole time today, is it's not about you. It's not based on you. It's about Him. It's about what He wants, what He asks for, who He is, what He's done, and what He deserves. That's what worship is. And it's evident there are some churches that are a little bit more fired up than others. There are some churches whose cultures are a little bit more reserved than others. Some churches that, you know, have this personality. Some churches have this personality, but, you know, but here at New Chapel, you know, we just a little bit more dignified than everybody else. No. Guys, I want to do a practice run. I want us to give God some praise right now. Just give Him a shout. Give Him a hand clap. Father, we love You. We praise You. No, I have no dignity when it comes to worshiping God. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's what David did. And there's a song about that. We'll probably sing that next week, Marcus. I will dance like David danced. No? Okay. But in case you're wondering, why are we structured the way that we are in our church specifically? Why is it called praise and worship? Why do we start with fast songs and slow songs? Did you know there's a reason for that, and it has nothing to do with just our preference as a church? It has nothing to do with what we would like as a church. It's actually a biblical reason. The reason why we do the way that we do with our worship choice is based out of Psalm 95. It says this in verse 1. Come, let us sing for joy. Sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise and extol Him with music and song. See, there's a protocol when coming into the presence of God. And that protocol is we come in and we enter His gates with thanksgiving. And we say, woo, God is good. I'm singing for joy. I am making a shout. I give you thanks for what you've done in my life. That's praise. That's praise. That's singing for joy. The shouting aloud. The entering with thanksgiving. That's praise. And praise, let me say this, is very horizontal. You know, some songs that we sing, they are unto God, but a lot of them is very horizontal to where, honestly, I'm not singing to Him. I'm singing to you. Because we need to understand, oh, isn't God great? Isn't God awesome, church? Isn't God amazing? And it lifts our spirits. It encourages us when it's a horizontal praise. But then the chapter continues in the same psalm. For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands form the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. All of a sudden, it goes from this to this. And it's no longer, isn't our God awesome? It's God, You are awesome. And it becomes a very intimate experience. That's why most of the time when we hear from the Lord or when we really experience God through a worship set, it is mostly at the end when it's more intimate, when it's more of a vertical experience. You don't want to miss out on that opportunity by choosing not to participate. You don't. It's amazing. And I promise you guys, when you worship like this, I'll even go far to say, when you worship the way that we do, the biblical way, it blesses God. He loves it. He loves it so much. And not only that, He loves it to the point to where it brings Him to action. Like He responds to it. And that's why people experience Him, because He comes. Oh, it's amazing. So number 3, I will worship expecting God to respond. Yes, I will. I came to connect to You today, Father. I came to be with You today. It says in Psalm 22, it says that He inhabits the praises of His people. He lives among the praises. It says in James 5, come close to God. Come close to God, and He will come close to you. So I'm not asking you to go so far out of your comfort zone. Some of y'all aren't even at the elbow flap stage. If you just start with the elbow flap next week, I'm good. I am encouraging you to take one step closer. That's it. One step deeper. And then how about after that? Take another step closer. Another step deeper. I'm telling you, you will find real fulfillment the closer you get to God when I just get over myself. And I make it all about Him. And I worship Him. And I worship Him. There's nothing more satisfying or soothing or peaceful when I'm close to my God. And you really experience that when you worship Him. So let me close with this. Listen very carefully. You're doing this for something. Worship. You're doing it for something. Let me put it this way. Everyone is a worshiper. Everyone is a worshiper. God put it in all of our spiritual DNAs where we find objects of adoration and love and praise. Lost people worship something because everyone gives adoration, time, money, their calendar, to something. So let me ask you this. Who are you worshiping? What is the object of your love? What's the object of your love's expression? Maybe for some of us it's sports. I don't know. Some of us it's video games. Maybe for some of us it's some other form of media or recreation. I don't know. What God is saying is like, that's fine. That's fine. But don't worship that over me. I want first place. I want that spot. I don't want any other gods above me. So just take that time and think about that. Because when you worship, this dynamic happens. When you worship, the worshiper begins to become the image of the thing that is worshiped. Because when you worship something, that then becomes your obsession. And the thing that you're obsessed with, you begin to imitate. And when you begin to imitate it, that's what you become. Maybe there's some of you don't like what you're becoming. Can I just ask, why don't you take an inventory of where your heart is and what you worship? Every head bowed, every eye closed. He's a jealous God and He wants you. He loves you so much. And hopefully I made the point clear that we should get over ourselves and just give God everything. Maybe this is the first time that you even heard about God. So you've never experienced Him personally. That moment of intimacy, like I've described, when I've been with God, close with Him. Maybe you're a Christian and you honestly say, I feel like God is 1,000 miles away from me. I just don't feel worthy to worship Him. If that is you on any of those accounts, I want you to do something bold. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Will you raise your hand up? Let me see it, please. Just let me see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You may put your hands down. If you raised your hand, I want you to look at me, please. After this portion, we're going to go into the offering portion. And they're going to pass buckets down your row. I want you to do something very bold and brave. I want you to fill out that connection card that you got this morning. Fill out that line of information and put in a prayer request. Check the box that says, I accepted Christ today. Would you do that? You want to know what happens? That personally gets taken to Pastor Joe and he personally prays for you. And we want to get you on this fulfilling, awesome life with God. You may close your eyes. And if you're serious about making God the Lord of your life, then I want you to repeat after me and let's say this prayer together. Church, we believe in what they're doing, so why don't you repeat as well? Say, Father, you are great, and I thank you for what you've done. I'm a sinner, and I need Jesus. So I come to you and put my faith in you. I believe that Jesus died and now lives. So I give Him my life. Father, take my life. It's yours, not mine. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity for me as a worship pastor to share something that's huge on my heart, that of worship, because you know my heart. I want to please you. I want my life to give you pleasure. I want my life to worship you. And I pray that was clearly conveyed and expressed here during this message. I pray that people see how great you are. I pray that people see just exactly how awesome you are to us and what you've done to us. And I pray that it compels them and encourages them to take a step closer in worshiping you beyond what they've done before. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.